We've arrived at a Wednesday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Chartok. Primaries yesterday and in the 19th Congressional District, as we talked about, as you predicted, Zephyr Teachout and John Faso, Democrat and Republican respectively, scored big wins in their primaries yesterday.
So it's going to be interesting to see how this thing plays out. In Chris Gibson, who is departing, the congressman, he played basically the role of a broker, sort of a Republican, somebody who could take positions that were consistent with either party, and it turned out he was beloved because of that. So now he's gone, and the two people who are replacing him are anything but people who come that close to the common line. You got John Faso, who is a Republican, who talks about Obamacare, you know, the traditional lines. And then you have Ms. Teachout, who is somewhat to the left of the center and is taking some controversial positions already that may hurt. She's talking, for example, about a two-state solution with the Israelis and the Arabs. There are those people who will think that's good because there are a lot of Americans who believe in that. On the other hand, there are some people who will not vote for it because they think that Hamas is out there and has said, let's drive them and the Israelis into the sea, and hardly candidates for a two-state solution. So, put frankly, that is where she's going to have to negotiate that position very carefully, among other things. She's a hero because in many ways she gave Andrew Cuomo the scare of his life when he ran in a primary against her. She won many upstate counties, and she's therefore quite popular with a lot of the upstate Democrats. So it's going to be a very interesting election. She defeated a man named Yadnik, who was a farmer, young man. I like him very much, and who would have been more to the center than Ms. Teachout. And therefore, this is going to be a somewhat polar problem between, as I say before, the Republican and the leftist Democrat.
To the national scene in the presidential race, a Benghazi panel ends, finding no new fault by Clinton.
It helps her because, in fact, I think what ends up happening, David, is that you're going to find enough people yawning and saying, okay, they've had their shot. They spent, what, $7 million or something on this investigation. They came up short. Perhaps it was a mistake, perhaps not, but this kind of thing could happen anywhere, and you could say, who hit John? So I don't really believe that this is the thing that they have that's going to bring Hillary Clinton down. They've tried it with Obamacare. They've tried it with this Benghazi. It hasn't worked, and it's showing in the polls in which she's increasingly pulling out in front of Trump.
Speaking of, Trump vowed yesterday to rip up trade deals and confront China.
Well, there's always the opportunity to make a boogeyman out of anybody, and that is, in fact, what Trump is trying to do. He's looking desperately for the sort of bomb that he can throw. People in the United States are used to demonizing China. When I talk to congressmen about why we need new submarines and things, they almost always point to China. Meantime, we do a lot of business with China, so we have to decide which one is it. The advantage of friendship, of course, is that you don't go to war with friends. Disadvantage there, of course, is that China is very aggressive. South China Sea, other places, they look like they're looking for trouble. Anyway, when Trump does each of these things, Americans are going to know we've had an awful lot of war, and do we really need more?
Bernie Sanders, op-ed in the New York Times, Alan, comes down to this. The notion that Donald Trump can benefit from the same forces that gave the Leave proponents a majority in Britain should sound an alarm for the Democratic Party and the United States. Millions of American voters, like the Leave supporters, are understandably angry and frustrated by economic forces that are destroying the middle class. We must create national and global economies that work for all, not just a handful of billionaires.
Well, of course, good for Bernie Sanders. I mean, you know, he's exactly right. Except that I'm not so sure that many of the people who are unhappy and have expressed it in the Republican Party by voting for Trump don't have equivalents on the Democratic side who are also unhappy. While the causality may be different in people's minds, I don't think that the general sense of unhappiness is to be disregarded, and he's right. He's also right to point out that they're not the same in each party, but we know there's unhappiness. We saw it in Brexit, and we are seeing it in this country.
Our political observer, Alan Chartok, joining us. Thanks, Alan.
Thank you, David.